Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. I hope you are all just as excited as me to have Matt Jones on the show. So I first saw Matt on Dragon's Den recently, you might have seen it, and I loved his story and what he was about. So I really needed to get him on the show, and luckily he agreed. Matt sold a multi-million pound company and has gone into a new startup, which is a male skincare brand. I really can't wait for him to share his story to you guys. So without further ado, here he is.
17,500 pounds. That's how much your business could be missing out on in tax breaks. New research tells us that most small British businesses don't know what tax breaks they're entitled to. Uniforms, training, even summer parties. Awesome won't let you miss out on tax breaks your business is entitled to. Awesome gives you the tools to keep track of what you're owed and an expert accountant to advise on the right tax breaks for your business. Think about what your business could do with an extra £17,500 each year. Go to osome.com/Spotify, that's awesome.com/Spotify, to get exclusive access to awesome software and 2 months free accounting. Get an awesome team to make running your business awesome.
Matt, welcome to The Life of KG. Thank you so much for giving up your time. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on. It's exciting.
It definitely. I mean, I saw you on Dragon's Den and I loved everything that you was about and your story. So I just had to get you on. So very grateful that you're here. Can you introduce yourself and just give us a quick download on what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Matt Jones. I'm 41 this year, so 40 at the moment. I've been an entrepreneur for the past 14 years. And in that time, I've founded, launched, and sold a national agency a couple of years ago. But for the last 4 years, I have developed and launched Massoa for Men, which is now one of the top 10 UK male skincare brands. So yeah, entrepreneur, loads of experience, and currently in the male skincare industry, which is really fascinating. Serving over 20,000 customers. So yeah, you know, changing the perception of the male skincare cosmetics for men.
Absolutely love that, because there definitely isn't enough of that on the market. And so you're obviously cracking that down to a T.
Absolutely, yeah. So just on that, basically, kind of business was born from a need that I had of my own, which was in 2018, I was, and I still do to some extent, I was kind of suffering with dry skin, and I wasn't when I looked in the mirror, I wasn't comfortable with what I was seeing. So I needed to find myself some products, and being a typical bloke, like not a clue what it was that I needed, thinking that the thing you use for dry skin is just the moisturizer, right? So I was heading into town trying to find a moisturizer, and I walked past this shop, and in the window was a Harley Davidson and a skeleton with a white coat on. Obviously it says skincare. I thought skeletons, motorbikes, it's definitely gotta be for men, right? So I walked in and I was greeted by this wall, this huge wall that was just littered with white pots, everything looking seemingly the same, everything. And I stood there staring at this wall at all these different lotions and potions thinking, what the hell do I need? And then I heard the sales assistant come over to me, kind of adding to the pressure, you know, we should know all this stuff, blokes, right? We should understand, you know what we want. You know, we don't ask for help. And I stood there, and then the sales assistant said, so what is it you need? What do you want? And I was like, I could feel the pressure. So I kind of just grabbed anything, put it in the bag. I need this. When I got back to my office, I looked inside the bag, and it was an oil eliminator. It wasn't even what I wanted. So kind of, oh, honestly. But I was going through the stage of selling my previous business. So I was in the due diligence stage, and kind of stepping back from the helm in a sense of letting my management team, my kind of board, run it whilst me taking a couple of steps back. So I was in this stage of kind of thinking to myself what it was that I was going to do after my departure from my previous business. So as you've seen on Dragon's Den, really, I've been somebody who struggled with my mental health over the years and also with my appearance. So it got me thinking, when I was in, it was Kiehl's, the shop, whilst I was in there, why didn't I just say to the person, I don't know what I need. I've got this dry skin. Like I haven't got a clue what I want. I just know that I need something to help combat this. And it's probably this, it's the same, not probably, it's the same reason why guys don't ask for help with other areas of their kind of being, such as mental health, help. We just don't, right? So I owned an advertising agency. That's what I did. Employed over 100 staff, offices in Cardiff and in London. Big, big firm. So I became the client. So what I've been doing for clients for years and years and years, so taking brands right away from conceptual stage all the way through to execution, above the line media, below the line kind of development brands. So I decided to do that myself. And with a team of people that I put together, we started to research the UK male skincare industry. And what we found was over the past, well, now like 8 years, the industry for men has exploded. Boom, you know, new products, new ranges, new brands. It's just coming from everywhere, right? So the male beauty industry has exploded. But yeah, guys about my age and slightly younger, we're kind of in this area now of like, what? This industry is exploding. Our knowledge and our education base is not necessarily like where it should be for one of our largest organs. And yet, if you think back in the day when I was growing up, I wanted to look like my elders. I wanted to look like kind of big cousins and uncles and fathers. Do you know what I mean? We did. We wanted to look like our future selves. Nowadays, my generation, we all want to look younger. So kind of we want to look more like Generation Z and Sentinels, right? So we're going to look more like them than they're ever going to be like us. And that's where this shift in society is, where guys, we just want to take better care of ourselves. So we did the research and we surveyed, honestly, Kate, tens of thousands of men, right? And we kind of asked the simple questions like, do you know where a moisturizer is? And if they said yes, like, what types of moisturizers do you know that they exist? Like, I didn't. And then we kind of, have you ever used a face scrub? You know, not the stuff you find underneath your sink you've had for 3 years for Christmas. Do you know what you do with these stuff? Do you know why you use a face wash? Do you know why you use a peel? All these questions. And then we kind of, we built up this foundation base. And then we asked questions as, you know, for you to start a skincare routine, what kind of skin and hair care issues do you suffer with? So lots of guys are like frail and like damaged hair from like working out in the elements or even in the air, you know, office air conditions, that kind of stuff. From psoriasis to breakouts to, you know, dry skin, acne. So we kind of, we did a sample set and we took the UK kind of male audience, the guys that we were researching, and narrowed it down really to three products. So we launched with three products, which was a face wash, a moisturizer, and a face scrub called our Deep Cleansing Exfoliant. I employed the best chemist in the UK I could possibly find. And we developed products all organic, and we used biodegradable beads in our face scrub, which are Ecuadorian ivory palm seeds, which are amazing for you. We developed these products and then we created the routine. And this routine was called Three and Easy, just three simple steps. It's not like some routines you see when it's like six steps, you know what I mean? Like wash your face, stick this on, wait for half an hour, do a dance, come back. It's just too much. Like, I mean, guys, we're on the go. So we kind of developed these products. So I left my previous business on the 24th of October, 2019. 25th of October, 2019, I launched, boom, after all the research. And yeah, and then the pandemic hit, which was great fun for everybody, wasn't it? In March of 2020. So kind of, be honest with you, I started to suffer with a little bit of imposter, I say little, a lot, of imposter syndrome from being, you know, Great British Entrepreneur of the Year, like 3 years running NatWest, like big, to like all of a sudden, gone, back. So I kind of struggled with this kind of loss of identity and imposter syndrome. I kind of stopped believing in myself, is what you've seen on Dragon's Den when I told my story. So I was kind of, I went fishing every day. I was building, but it was during a pandemic, right? People weren't thinking about putting moisturizers on their face. People were thinking about keeping the walls from the door. So kind of, yeah, it was kind of a dark couple of months. And then it was October 2020. And I thought to myself, what the hell am I doing? I got this amazing brand. I need to sort it out. So I kind of doubled down on innovation, reconfigured their products, launched another 23 products in the space of like 7 months, which was crazy. It's never been done, but got the right team around me. Then I went on Dragon's Den, which you've seen. Mm-hmm. And they were at 20,000 customers, top 10 male skincare brand in the UK. And our Trustpilot reviews are just, they're absolutely sensational, because we've created a space for guys to come and be educated on how and when to use skincare products and routines to combat the most common skin and hair issues. So a guy who comes to us, he's got a skin or hair care issue. You use this routine, it'll combat that, and it does. So they then form part of our community. They start reading our stories around mental health and getting involved. So we've kind of built this ecosystem, which is just surpassing every other male skincare brand, really, because of kind of the brand essence itself, you know? So yeah, I'll shut up now, Kate. But that's where we are.
It's absolutely incredible. So are the guys buying in high street stores? Can they go to salons and buy them? Where can they purchase?
So to start with, we were just an e-com brand, so you could purchase just online. But right now we are in a number of high-end male skincare and hair care salons, barbershops, very selected. We are going to roll out to a lot more over the next 12, 24 months. But to be honest with you, we've been really heavily focused on retailers, which soon to announce some big ones, but also kind of just reconfiguring our e-com system. So yeah. But right now, online, salons, a few, but we're going to be in the big retailer soon.
Did you find that Dragon's Den has really pushed that forward? Because you got investment through Dragon's Den, didn't you?
Yeah. So what happened was, when I was on air, to tell you that, when I was actually on TV, when you watched me on there, we had 44,000 people on our website when it was on TV. In a space of a week, we did 68,000. It's crazy. But when I left the show, when I went to meet Tucker afterwards in London, I turned them down afterwards. Okay, I decided not to work with them. Nothing to do with Tucker. He's great. It's just I've learned experience from being in business, having businesses, running businesses. Relationships is more about chemistry than control. So I didn't necessarily want to get into a place where I felt as though I was losing some control around my business, because knowing the type of entrepreneur and character I am, I need to be enthused, right? I need to be in the driving seat. So I decided to not go ahead with that.
It's really funny you say that, because we interviewed a lady last year on the podcast. She was on Dragon's Den a good few years ago, and she done exactly the same. She got investment, but then turned it down after the show. Because I think as well, it takes a different entrepreneur, doesn't it? Do you really want people telling you what to do and to be in the driving force of the business, and you do lose that control? Or are you the mind and the vision and the drive behind the business? You might not like that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's a really kind of, it's a strange situation. So my financial position allowed me to not need investment from, I didn't need the investment. I didn't go on to Dragon's Den solely just for investment. I went on there to find myself a business partner, somebody who had far more experience than I. So being an entrepreneur for 13 years, I built my previous business from 200,000 in its first year to 7.7, plus about 10.5 million in its year that I sold it. And prior to that, I lost an agency. So I kind of failed, I hate that word, learned lessons, launched again, and then sold for seven figures, right? So I've been through that spectrum. So even though Masoa was a startup, I was going on there not necessarily looking for investment, knowing the power of media, what it could do for the brand, but also looking for that individual who could have helped me to open doors and helped me to develop the brand, which when you watch Dragon's Den, you know, lots of these businesses are startups with startup also young, not say young in terms of experienced entrepreneurs who may not have the availability of funds from other areas. So, but they've got a great brand and a great business, right? So you go on to the show. And I think sometimes, you know, you can get a little bit unstuck with numbers and figures and things like that. Not necessarily, I didn't myself, but when you watch it and knowing what I know, I think sometimes that happens. It's not just down to a lack of preparation. It's down to a lack of skill and nerve, because most entrepreneurs have never done pitching or things before, right? So post-show, you kind of potentially might have signed up to something which is not right for you, but under the pressure of the show, you just wanted to get it to that end. You know what I mean? So it happens, doesn't it? People, you know, they turn down the offers later when they're kind of back and relaxed again in their own space, thinking, right, was that actually for me? Because it is a pressured environment. I was pitching for 2 hours and 15 minutes. You know, you've seen 7 minutes. You've seen 7 minutes. It is a fantastic experience, and I'm absolutely, and I would, you know, anybody who has a startup business who feels as though they want to have the exposure and investment and a business plan, I'd recommend it. But I think from a viewer's perspective, we've all watched it, haven't we? When we've gone, don't say that, or, you know, what are you doing? It's because it's been edited. You know, that person probably gave that answer 5 or 6 times already, you know.
Interesting. So, yeah. How have you found from, obviously, you've had businesses that, you know, have been learning curves. You've also had business where, obviously, you've sold for so much money. But then you've gone to going from a complete new startup again. How is that? Do you have that whole mindset of, well, I've been successful in one, so this is going to take off straight away? Is there still that struggle to try and get customers in and build that business? How was that? Because going from a huge business to starting a new business must be really hard.
Oh, absolutely. So it is really hard, you know. Like, I saw my previous business, I did well for myself, right? You know, I'm not driving around in Ferraris or anything like that, even though I'd like to. I'm not doing that. Kind of, I put it all away for my children, right? So I'd say a good 90% of it's locked up for my kids for one day. I know my eldest son will be very happy about that. But kind of, you're right, though. Going from a big business in, like, the amount of staff that I had and the offices I had and everything I had to in your spare bedroom again, launching a startup brand, I think it's one of the reasons, even if the pandemic hadn't kicked in, for me, it was very isolating. And I'm telling you the kind of the negative side of it first, I suppose. Kind of like, it was kind of that imposter syndrome. Like, because when you've achieved like that, it's really, when you're in the success and you're achieving and you're building something like that, you experience it and you know it because you're in it, right? So you know how you're getting to your next level of success because you're actually in the driving seat. But when you're not in it and you look at somebody else's success, you look back at your own success, even though you can remember how you did it, it's still like so far away again because you're right at the beginning and you know how hard that is to achieve that. Mm-hmm. So I was suffering with that imposter syndrome, thinking like, have I made the right decision? Kind of, I'm back in this kind of startup phase now. Do I want to be back in the startup phase? So much doubt. But then what happened is what I said in Dragon's Den. As soon as the products went out, and then we started to get our first couple of reviews. People are saying how amazing these products were. They back their confidence. They changed their complexions. Their kind of skin issues have started to disappear. I kind of started to get that kind of, wow, I think this is something, you know? And then when we launched, so 3 products, we were doing well, but it's not enough to scale. You need more. So as you know, so 26 products later, kind of, and we have, you know, you can see on the website, we've got set routines, making it really easy for guys. And the reviews just flying every day, 5-star reviews. And because we care about our customers. So yeah, as we got more and more reviews, more customers, and I started to believe in myself more and believe in a startup phase again. But it wasn't easy and it never is. The difference is you have experience, right? That's the difference. It doesn't make it, mentally, it doesn't make it easier. In fact, you know what you're setting, you know what you're going into. In some ways, there's pros and cons, isn't there? But doing what I did previously, as I mentioned earlier, so taking a brand from the concept stage, a brand, right the way through to execution, well, that was my skill set, right? So I kind of understand the nuances in the sense of audience research, audience dynamic, kind of path to purchase, product promotion, testing. So I've kind of done that, you know, above the line comms campaigns, you know, ensuring we're aiming for a certain cost per acquisition. So I have this experience, but also when you're in the trenches, all that kind of goes out the window. You know what I mean? So like the startup phase is, you know, Masoa's 4 years old now. So we're technically out of the startup phase, but I think the pandemic did slow that down for lots of people. So even though we're 4 years in, we would have been further ahead if not, you know. But yeah, it's super rewarding, right? That's why That's why, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, it's not for everyone, is it? Because
no,
the difference between somebody who's an entrepreneur and somebody who isn't an entrepreneur is that an entrepreneur will always strive for success. And success is not as their perception of success is either disposal, acquisition, sale, lifestyle, freedom of finance, right? So the only way you achieve those things is by not quitting and not stopping. So that's the difference. If you don't quit and you don't stop, well, you're already ahead of everybody else because the likelihood is they're going to. So to be an entrepreneur, you've got to keep on hitting that, haven't you?
That's Do you think that you're born an entrepreneur or learnt an entrepreneur?
I was definitely a young entrepreneur. I left school when I was 14, almost 15, no qualifications. I was under the care of social services for lots of my youth. And I joined the army quite young, 16, because I seen an army TV commercial and it was guys dressed up in winter warfare kit, blowing stuff up. And I thought, that's definitely going to be for me. So kind of, I joined the military. And after I left the army, I kind of wanted to work in an industry that created commercials like that. Because if I hadn't have gone in the army, Kate, I would have probably been in prison, right? So I wanted to be in this space. And that's where my kind of entrepreneurial journey started, really. I kind of got into the advertising industry. I seen how agencies work. I understood that, you know, that I could do this myself. And I did. So I launched an advertising agency selling media, cross-sector media, right across the board, everything from TV to digital. So that was where I... 2009, I launched my first business. So I was 27. And yeah, so that's when I became an entrepreneur. Kind of, an entrepreneur is somebody, you know, you have a business that makes you a business owner. If you're innovative, if you're pioneering, if you're trying to change a marketplace, if you're raising, buying, selling, you know, if you're entrepreneurial in a sense of you want growth, that's entrepreneurial, isn't it? It's having that kind of the world to do something different, yeah. So I don't think I was born one. I think I was made one, you know?
Yeah. I always find it really fascinating because those are entrepreneurs normally come from some sort of background. I mean, I was the same. I left school at 13, like no qualifications, no nothing. It just gives you that driving force behind you, doesn't it? But you do have one or two lanes. You're either going to go this way and unfortunately be nothing, or take the right way and just you've got this huge driving force behind you that helps you become successful, I think.
Absolutely. If we looked at all of kind of the entrepreneurs that we know about. So there's thousands of entrepreneurs that are like secret leaders, right? We don't know anything about, like they don't do podcasts. They're in their lane, and that's amazing. And then there's other kind of entrepreneurs who are doing more above the parapet, like ourselves, right? But if we just thought about the entrepreneurs that we know of, I'd say, you know, a good percentage of them would have either dropped out of university, dropped out of high school. Like that's kind of like the making of an entrepreneur, isn't it? In a sense of most entrepreneurs, most kind of successful businesses are born out of adversity, i.e. they haven't had something, they want something, they think they can do something different, they've been knocked back in the past, they've worked for somewhere else, they haven't been treated right, they've had a problem with a product or a service, they think they can do it better. So it's adversity. So that's kind of where we're born from. Yeah, the challenger kind of mindset, isn't it?
Definitely. And am I right in thinking you have 2 children, right?
I have 5 children.
5? I had 5 kids. Wow. Okay, tell me. Work-life balance. Come on. From a man's perspective, how's that working?
It's not. No. So, yeah, whenever I tell him I've got 5 children, everybody does the same beep. So Masoa is my name, Matthew. Then my little girl, Esme. And then Sky. And then Oscar and Archie. So that's Masoa. But I had a little girl a year ago. So she's 1 at the end of the month. And her name is Carrie. So yeah, that's it now. I'm done, you know. But my eldest son is 18 in January. And so, you know, a drive off to university. And then my daughter, my youngest daughter, is obviously taking her first steps and saying her first words. So it's right end of the spectrum, you know?
Mm. Yeah. How do you find when it comes to like thinking of their careers, their education, seeing as you was you left school so young? I know I have quite big opinions on this. Where are your opinions when it comes down to like education and stuff like that? Because all of our kids are different, right, as well?
Yeah, they are all different. You're absolutely right. So, you know, I've been asked this question before, and it's a really kind of interesting question to answer, because you're right, all children are different. Absolutely. My two sons are completely different. But there's not a day that doesn't go by when I don't think about those GCSEs that I didn't sit. And I'm not, but also if I had a sat them and I had a passed them, would have taken me on a different career, a different path? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But knowing how kind of like tunnel vision I can be, in a sense of being committed to achieving something, when I put my mind to it, there's no exception. I'm going to do this. I think if I'd have put that same energy into those qualifications, I would have done incredibly well. So with my children, like, so Archie, he did his GCSEs a year ago. He's been in college the past year. He's going to his second year of college in September. University next year, and he wants to join the Metropolitan Police and be a police officer, right? Which is amazing. So he wants to join the University of London and then the policing degree, which I kind of like, I have kind of been steering that path for about, I don't know, for as long as he can remember, just dropping little, you know, thoughts into his head. But Oscar, my younger son, he also wants to follow in the same path, which we'll see, because he's a different character. So yeah, education for my kids, it is really important to me, because like, I'm 41 this year, and that was a long time ago since I've done that. So I've been through a lot. I've taught myself a lot. You know, I'm great at grammar and English and the rest of it. But there has been periods in my life when I've gone like, oh, I'm struggling in this area. Potentially, I wouldn't have struggled if I'd have had more, or if I'd have done more. So yeah, I think education is really important. But it also comes down to character and attitude. You know, like I've employed over 100 people at my previous agency. And would I look necessarily for qualifications or degrees? Not necessarily. It'd always be down to attitude, because you can teach skill. You can't teach attitude, right? So
exactly that.
Attitude is like really important. And yeah, I had a kind of a big rule for everybody they employed, basically, and there's no dickheads. If you were a good person, that was it. You know, and you had the right attitude and you wanted to learn and you could bring something different, then I was interested, you know. But that's not the same for everybody, and I tell my sons that as well. I'm honestly, my daughters are still quite young in a minute, but I tell them that, you know, just because I did it doesn't necessarily mean to say there's other people out there like that. So you know, get the basics. So I do think, you know, you do want that for your children, don't you?
Definitely, 100%. And most of our listeners on here, I would say, are startups, maybe less than 10 years in business as well. There's a varied mix. But as you're like really experienced when it comes to brand building, what tips would you say for those that are looking to create a brand? And what tips have you got for those?
Absolutely. And it's one of the most important things, but also one of the things we get overlooked the most. So a brand is determined by what people say about your business or you as an individual when you're not in the room. So that is how your brand is defined. It's what people think of you when you're not in the room. You as an individual and you as a business. So if you want to build your business's brand, you've got to build two brands. You've got to build the brand of the business. So your thoughts, feelings, emotions, visions, statements, what you stand for. Customer service is not a department, right? We've heard that cliches and attitude. It's correct, though. And the other part of the brand you've got to build is your own. So what you stand for, what your opinions are, why you've developed your business, who you are, what stances you're taking. And both of them need to be branded in different ways. So personal, It's things like this. It's podcasts, getting out there, chatting to people, networking, talks, speeches, getting out there and talking about the things you're passionate about. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to talk about a subject that you're not comfortable with. So really take the time to define your opinions and what things mean to you, but don't force it. It has to come naturally to you, because then when you're speaking about these things, you'll be passionate about it, as I am right now. And then building your brand around your business, it's the same thing. So from everything from your first member of staff, your junior member of staff, right the way up to where you are. So set the precedent, if it's a salon or if it's not, what doesn't make a difference what it is. How do you want the opinion of your customers, the public, to feel when they walk through the door? So that kind of customer service element, if it's a public-facing business, is the bit you need to get nailed on. If you were the consumer wearing a consumer hat, how would you want to be treated? Think of the nicest restaurants you go to, or the nicest whatever it may be, the nice experiences you have. How did it make you feel? Then try and, the great feeling, try and replicate that. And any kind of bad service you have, really think about that and take that out. Make sure those things don't happen. So they're the basics. Focus on them first. And that's how you build a brand. That is how you build something that means something. It's not always about kind of how your logo, obviously it's a big part of it in regards to how the brand, the logo, the identity, but really it's about when people leave your environment or talk about you, they don't say, did you see that KG logo with that silver through it? They don't say that. They say, didn't Kate make us feel this way? Or one of her salons made me feel this way. That's what's important. It's how people perceive you as a brand and an individual, as a business and an individual. And that's how you build brand. By tapping into the emotion of your audiences. That's how you do it. And also, don't be worried about the opinion, the thoughts of people's... So if you're strong opinionated, or this is the way you want to build your own personal brand or your own business's brand, and this is kind of what you're passionate about, don't worry about the people who won't be interested in that or have bad opinions, because they're not the people you should be speaking to anyway. You know, 60 million people in the UK are right now. You know, if 10% of them don't like what you're saying, don't worry about it. So stay in that kind of, stay in the mindset of building something that's meaningful to you, and that's how you develop a brand.
That's a very interesting point, actually, because I think a lot of people, especially in our industry, beauty industry, are very scared to not be liked. We're very people person, people pleasers. So I think people are very scared to put their opinions out in case, oh no, someone doesn't agree with that opinion. And yeah. Like you said, if you have that passion behind what you're talking about, then actually you'll find that you don't really care what their opinions are.
No, you shouldn't. Absolutely. Because what I did in previous businesses and at Masowa is that if you spend too much time thinking, and it has affected me in the past, so I'm not like the, you know, I'm just talking from experience, but if you spend too much time thinking about what everybody else is doing or what their thoughts or opinions are, you're not thinking about your own and where you need to be driving. So kind of like forget about the noise, just keep on building your brand and creating your own noise. So he who shouts loudest wins. So, you know, it's like that salon talk and a barber talk, you know, when you're in the salon, you know, you're behind the chair, that's when you're developing your brands. That's why your customers come back. So try and just stay focused on that. Don't worry about, you know, the opinions of other salons or other businesses who won't like what you're doing, because sadly, lots of people and businesses don't like to see other success. So, you know, when you're doing something right, when you're building success, people are not going to like it, but that's when you know it's working. So kind of just stay focused, keep on it, keep building that brand, keep building that kind of professional and courteous and that warming kind of service, and you'll just do incredibly well. And you will. It's absolutely, you know, you absolutely will.
What's next for you, Matt?
Well, what I really, really enjoy doing is working with brands of all sizes right across the UK and helping them to develop themselves into, you know, market leaders. So when I sold my previous agency, I had restrictions on me for quite some time. I couldn't come back into the market. So I launched Masowa. We're now 4 years in. The business is doing beautifully. But I have launched another advertising agency, and it's called Rebel Lion. And We are a new era agency that do things differently. And I can say that we do things differently because I've owned a traditional agency approach. And the way that we do things differently is by taking the commitment of delivering that end goal, that end objective. So it might sound like a bit of a given, but lots of agencies, they'll deliver on what they need to deliver on. But as business owners, we're sat here thinking, well, you know, yes, you did a beautiful campaign. You delivered this amazing concept, but I'm still X amount short in the till. So what we do differently now is ensure that when you work with us, we deliver that kind of end result and we kind of nurture and help develop kind of brands into kind of market leaders, as I said, yeah, by all the things we discussed today. So, yeah.
I love that. Exciting.
Yeah.
Definitely. Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to love and leave you now because you're very, very busy, but where can people connect with you if they want to know more, if they want to know about the new business or about the skincare range?
The best place really is straight on my Instagram, you know, to start with. So it's Matt_Masoa and then everything's on there.
Perfect. Amazing. We'll put everything in the show notes anyway. So if you're listening and want to know more, then you can just head over to the show notes. But thank you so much, Matt, for giving up your time. It's been an absolute pleasure and really interesting. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Kay. I really, really enjoyed speaking to you and best of luck with everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
At Buddha Beauty, we manufacture vegan and cruelty-free skincare, perfect for salon use and retail. Our products have been developed alongside our Manchester salons to create a results-driven skincare range. Our range of skincare is available in your own brand, which is the perfect way to offer your customers great home care products that keep bringing them back to your salon time and time again. Visit us at www.ownlabelskincare.com to request more information on how you can be selling your own products within 4 weeks.